anime show. I am a green queen.
And I'm Binge Monster.
Let's go. We are hitting you here with the hardest hitting news. Hard is now a word I've said three times on this podcast. Okay, but with that being said, let's start off strong, shall we? Let's talk about something that I should know more about, and yet I'm so obsessed with it, having not finished it nearly at all. Okay, Tower of God Season 2 anime unveils new cast visual. So we get a new, beautiful, absolutely stunning poster. And they talk about some new characters that are going to be coming up in Season 2, such as Jiu Viola Grace, Jia Wang Nun, and Yeon Yihua. Again, means absolutely nothing to me, but you've read this entire series. So what are your general thoughts? Like, are you excited for season two?
Oh man, I'm so excited for season two.
It's just heat, right? Like, anyone listening should just give it a shot.
Do you mean to read it or to watch it?
Okay, to watch it, I'll say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's super worth it. There's like three things I've ever watched. Actually, maybe more than three things. But there are few things that I've watched as they came out, as the anime episodes came out. And then I've just read the whole thing in a couple of days. Mm. I think everybody's been there at least once. The thing about Tower of God is I did that before the anime ever was before I even knew the anime was ever going to come. I kind of read one chapter just on a whim one night. And then for the rest of the weekend, I was gone, just completely gone. It's hundreds of chapters, but it is so good.
But when you think about it, like when you actually think about it, anyone who's read a full manga series, I think, can attest to this. And anyone who hasn't, maybe just doesn't have an idea of actually how fast you can cruise through chapters of a manga if you are invested in the story. So like you're saying a couple hundred and a couple, like I think Demon Slayer is only like 100 and something. I think Hell's Paradise right now is only 100 and something. Like, so, and these are ones that I've absolutely flown through. But then when you think of ones like Bleach or Naruto or that are continuing through weeks on weeks on weeks, those are a little more daunting. But like when you say 100, I would say that anyone could be, sorry, I had a pop-up window. Computer that anyone would be not as that shouldn't sound as daunting as it might sound is the button of what I'm trying to say. The thing that I really love about Tower of God, having not watched it but also being totally obsessed with it, watching all the news about it, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the hurdle is. I think because you've told me for so long that I would absolutely love this, and then I did. And then I was like, it was the timing. I was like, I'm being really precious about this. And if you know me, I'm going to be precious about my anime. But Kevin Penkin does the music for this.
Yeah. And you're one of your favorite K-pop bands does the opening.
Oh, yeah. Stray Kids did the opening. Stray Kids did season one opening. I don't know who's doing the season two opening by any means.
Which was fire, by the way.
Okay. this is not my bad karaoke routine. But yeah, so Kevin Penkin also does the music to Shield Hero, which I was like actually shocking, but of course our favorite, Made in Abyss. So very excited for season two. Season two is going to be coming to Crunchyroll in July. Thank you. I was like, this is in my notes, but I couldn't find it. And the first season, we haven't seen it since 2020. So this is a long time coming. The fans deserve more Tower of God.
And Kevin Pangan is a beast, so I imagine, and it's phenomenal. I think I just saw on his Instagram he spent some time in Japan and just finished something. I imagine it was for season two of this.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm super, super excited. Yeah, and But you don't have the, you started watching it, right? And you just have a couple more episodes to finish it, right?
It's something I'm like right smack dab in the middle. But mm-hmm. I'm kind of also, I think, at the beginning, because the weapons were like a really big draw to me. And the weapon that I am the most, that I keep calling back to, they were fighting for the throne. And the little girl, mm-hmm. who's not like a little girl, she's like a dragon or something. I have no idea. Has the weapon that's like a whip.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this is so sick. And like, I just was too precious about it. Like, too much was going on. And I was like, no, I have to sit down in quiet and watch this in Japanese. I was, you know, like the precious ones, I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to watch them in Japanese. And you have to sit yeah. there and you have to do nothing else but watch the show. So,
yes.
Adult me just hasn't gone back yet.
Go watch it so we can watch it in July together. It's worth it.
That's so easy. I can totally do that. Yeah. do that. Okay, but moving on. So this is also something really, really cool. So I hope you have these pictures pulled up with you. So Reebok is doing a collaboration with Hunter Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually watching a video from somebody about this, and they were like, you know, this feels like a long time coming for Hunter Hunter. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, everyone's getting sneakers and shoes now. Demon Slayer had the Crocs. Pokemon had a
Naruto, apparently.
What'd you say?
So apparently said a Naruto, which I never saw, thank God.
Okay, be honest. Did you want those Naruto Crocs, though?
No, I never saw them.
What?
And if I did, I just blocked them out of my head. I don't like Crocs, personally. But I did love the Naruto Michael B. Jordan coach line.
Yes.
Those were sick.
Oh, so you have everything expensive taste. That.
Apparently so.
Ninja Monster is a man of style, you see. He only wears
We're laughing coats. Because that's not true.
But you have your Zoom sweater on for this call.
It's I can't even lie to you. This is from Shein and it's not a sweater. It's just a shirt.
It looks nice though. It looks nice.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. You look good.
But the thing is, it's also got matching shorts. It's like a set. But the thing is, I wore this for you because it's green and it was your birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, as we record this episode.
I gotta do it. You know what I'm saying? I gotta wear the green from a pal. Happy birthday, by the way.
What is Excuse
Officially.
Me. Wait, who am I? Who am I? Excuse me, I would like to stop the whole trajectory of the episode to wish you a happy birthday. Who am I?
Okay, but like what's more important?
My birthday over the literal product of the podcast. Yes, of course.
Listen, it's a special day. It happens once a year. We can dedicate a couple of seconds for our listeners who also will want to wish you a happy birthday. Go wish her a happy birthday.
That's true. Thank you.
Yes. But you're right. Naruto had Crocs, and thankfully I never saw it. Apparently One Piece had Pumas, which I actually would... I feel like we talked about that, but I don't remember. And now Hunter Hunter is trying to, you know, get in for Reeboks, which is Reebok, which is interesting. Clearly, the shoe brands are aware that their target demographic also likes. I was going to say Naruto, but I meant anime. And now they're doing these collaborations, which I 100% celebrate. How do you feel about them? Which ones do you like? Because there's like, what, five in the set, right?
Yeah, there's five of them. Let's see. Well, okay, so here's my thing. The Hisoka one needs to be burned. I get it, but anyone who likes that character, I don't judge you, but like, can we all agree? Like, I have yet to actually know someone personally who likes Hisoka, so I have yet to hear them out. It's just a vibe thing, not loving it. I also, mm-hmm. in this review of this video I saw, I wish I could think of this creator's name who is doing a review on it, because he said the least one that he liked was like the Hunter Core One, because it's basically just like a black and white shoe. Not a lot of like specificity going on. There's just like a little decal on the tongue. But at the same
time. Yeah, I get that.
I feel like that minimalist style is kind of in too. So I'm like, there might be a couple people that do want a shoe that is like very subtle. I don't know.
Yeah. So you're saying the one with that's the most subtle might be the only one people want to wear.
No, I'm not saying that. I think the one that people are going to want to wear is the one that is styled after Gone. It's good.
The green one.
It's good. It's the green one.
Yeah, that green one is really cool.
It's really good. And
it kind of reminds me a little of the other shoe that you have. What are they, Bulbasaurs?
Oh, it's Bulbasaur, baby. Oh, yeah. I love that shoe.
It's not because it's green, though, right?
No. It's because the Squirtle one was a skater shoe, and I have the woman of, like, a 70-year-old person, so I can't wear skater flat shoes. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the clogs. And you know what I'm talking about in this set.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know what to make of that. I don't love it.
Is it not? Like,
I don't.
Is it not just like a more classy croc?
It's supposed to be like inspired by Netero, and I don't know. I just don't. I guess it's a fancy croc. I don't know.
Well, then what's your favorite of the set?
I just feel like I was about to say something so wrong. I just feel like I could find something even at like Five Below better than this, just that I would actually wear. And I just wouldn't pay for it. How much is that? What is the MSRP for that shoe?
I don't know. Like, how much are they? It doesn't say.
Yeah.
It doesn't say how much they are. I wonder the release. I see. So it's starting March 22nd. Although some of them I heard are already available in certain places, along with other items, the sneaker prices will range from $110 to $200.
So if that one's $110,
that has to be the $110 one.
I don't know. Either way, I'm not in there. No matter what it is.
Well, since Hunter x Hunter is your favorite anime, I'm really shocked you're going to pass on these.
Look, I like Hunter x Hunter. I just, you know, it's not. I just don't like the Chimera arc. And that's my one of my controversial takes on anime. Apparently, I didn't really realize this. I thought there was a stronger consensus in the anime community that the Chimera ant arc was not great. But our old roommate will die on a hill saying otherwise. So who knows? Maybe I'm really not in the majority there.
Y'all, I have yet to have the Hunter bug. And like, I don't even know if I want it. I don't know.
That's
what
fine.
It is. It's just not for me. I don't know. I will watch it because this is my livelihood that I've chosen to partake in this podcast and have deep conversation and understanding. And would I really be an understanding person if I didn't watch another anime about young boys and men and all that tussling around that they do? Would I really miss out on something? I don't know. It's not like I could find another story in anime about brotherhood. So
yeah,
maybe I just hate stories about brotherhood because I'm also like Full Metal, not interested. Miss me with it. Such an ass. We just lost two subscribers. But with that being said, I'm gonna watch Full Metal. I'm waiting for my next like sick day or day where it's like, you know what? It's today. I'm watching it.
It's time.
There's no, yeah. I actually know that it's good. I just don't have a full interest in it. And I have more important things to watch. So anyway, moving on to games. So I did not know that Eminence of a Shadow has a game called Eminence of a Shadow. What is it called? RPG game called Eminence of a Shadow. Wait, pardon me. Eminence in Shadow. Master of Garden.
Yeah. Accessible via Crunchyroll.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep speaking over you, and it's not. It's just me being excited.
No, that was it. It's downloadable in the App Store or the Play Store, or you can download it on your PC. But no, I've not played the game.
Have you watched the show though, that it's based on?
Oh yeah, I love the show. I love Eminence and Jedha. It's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
What is it?
it's hysterical.
It's an
Yeah,
isekai? It's like a fantasy, like,
yes, all of the above, all of those things.
but
It
it's a
is.
comedy?
It is pretty comedic. I mean, it's also action based, don't get me wrong, but like the main character, he comes from the real world and like takes on this persona called Shadow, and like he's trying to create the script for himself to be like the ultimate like main character slash villain, and he ends up kind of being a good guy and kind of being in the idiot in the room, and everybody's like, because of his greatness, and he's like very, very strong, which is like alludes to his greatness. That's why people are like, "You're so great." But he'll like be in a scene and he'll say something and he'll be like, "You know what I mean?" And they'll be like, "Yeah, I definitely know what you mean." And he'll be like, and then they'll be like, "Maybe he meant this. Oh my God, insert here extremely complicated logic that only someone as great as him could possibly have thought of." And then they'll look back at him and they'll be like, "You're a genius." And he'll be like, "Yes." And then like his internal monologue, he's like, "I don't know what's going on. Like he created the central bank on accident in the world. Like it was because of some ideas that he haphazardly spit out. And then somebody took those ideas and literally made a central bank and like a stock exchange or something like that. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but in the second season, like they created like conglomerates on accident too, and he's credited for being the one to like come up with that. But he was like just describing like a mall, and like people took that and ran with it. They're like, "You're a genius! How did you come up with these ideas?" And he also fights, and he's a really great fighter too. It's funny. I
I
really
like
like
that.
Eminence and Shadow.
That does sound
It's
funny.
one of the only reasons I have a high dive account still, is to continue to watch that. And Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Those are the two things that I've. Oh, and Made in Abyss. Okay, those are the three main reasons I still have a dive account.
I still want to watch what is it called? It's not Maid Sama or Akiba Maid War. I still kind of want to watch Akiba Maid War on only on High Dive. Just I even if I just watch the opening, because I think the opening is just like a mass battle of all maids.
I mean, I hope you find what you're looking for there. I'm guessing there's just a lot of fan service, but I'm not
Yeah.
sure. Like, I have no idea.
That's why
I just.
I only need the opening. I only need to see the maids go to war one time for it to do what it needs to do for me, if I'm being honest.
Enough.
So the reason
Fair
we
enough.
bring this up is because there is a game, as Binge Monster said, downloadable on Crunchyroll, which is, Crunchyroll does music videos now, they do games now, they do a lot of stuff. You should poke around in the app and you'll find a bunch of things. But Shangri-La Frontier, they are basically doing a crossover. So in the trailer, you see, I guess Shadow is the main character's name, being gifted a VR headset, puts the headset on, and suddenly is in Shangri-La Frontier as Sunraku. So it's like one of the first like anime collaborations that are happening in this game. But you should definitely watch the trailer. It tickled me, and now that I know the show is funny, it kind of makes sense. Like, I just thought
Yeah,
it
I'd
was.
never thought I would see a screen where Sunraku was standing next to Shadow. And not just because they're from different anime, but it's just weird. But like that Shadow, like I don't know, like it's interesting that they pick these two shows, because you could theoretically paint Shangri-La Frontier as an isekai, in the sense that they go to another world. It just so happens to be that this world is a video game world. But I don't know. It's just funny because their main characters are super different.
So different.
Yeah, it's a great collaboration. I think it's interesting. I don't think Eminence and Shadow is accessible via Crunchyroll, so it's interesting to me that the game is offered through there. Obviously, Shangri-La Frontier is, but be cool to see. Maybe this creates other opportunities in the future for collaborations of up and coming anime, just to see like what kind of revenue streams can come in from this, and are there opportunities to create other collaborative games? It's not like they don't do crossovers, like Jump Force, and there are obviously other video games where they've done this, but this feels interestingly strategic, I should say.
Yeah. And I guess like right? we don't have the full like I wonder if fans in Japan kind of have a little bit more context into like the history behind these studios or these titles or these creators. I have no idea. Like, did the creators like go to college together or like art school? I would love, you know, like why I don't understand. Yeah. Although I have to say, hearing you kind of talk about Eminence and Shadow, it did kind of make me think like, oh yeah, but both of these main characters are like absolutely chaotic in some capacity and in a different, yes. different fonts, but like, they're both like really chaotic.
Yes.
Like Sodraku is fair. A mess. But like, you know, but this collaboration will be happening in a, or the, pardon me, it'll be launching in a crossover event on March 21st of this year at 13 Japan Standard Time. So that's got to be at least like 1 a.m. for people on the East Coast. Okay, moving right along. So this one kind of not anime related at all. But it feels culturally relevant, and I don't know exactly why. So I'm sure a lot of us here enjoy karaoke. Well, the creator of the first karaoke has died. Mr. Shingaichi Negishi, 1924 to 2024. The Japanese engineer credited with gifting the world one of its greatest inventions, the karaoke machine, has passed away at the age of 100, as reported by the Wall Street Journal. It's apparently he died of natural causes, with his daughter confirming his passing. But I, you know, I don't know. It feels like this is definitely ties in somehow. Like, I mean, even in you know, Tomo-chan is not a girl, they go to a karaoke bar. Like, karaoke is just such a like
big part of
yeah. Eastern culture in general too, I think. Yeah,
most Asian cultures, I would agree. I bet you most people don't know that the word karaoke is Japanese. Like, I bet you most people don't know that it was invented in Japan. Karaoke. Most people just don't know that.
Karaoke. But this is sad. I mean, what a
it
long,
is sad.
Beautiful life.
What a flex, though. What a flex. I mean, can you imagine? I bet his daughter is like, well, yeah, my dad invented karaoke.
Yes, inventing
the whole phenomenon.
And the article says gifted the world with karaoke. Yeah. I'm like, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. Anyway,
it's a whole category of entertainment. Like that's a cultural. It's like, I don't know, like going to the pub. Wow, I don't know why I picked pub instead of bar.
British, going to the pub.
But like it's an activity that will stand the sands of time. Like just like going karaoke with your friends is.
We went karaokeing for your bachelorette or your bachelor party, your fake one.
What?
Right. When we went to K-Town, but right before you got married, actually, like, right, or you were going.
Wasn't that your birthday?
No, it was yours because your mom came. Remember, and we all joked.
Oh, we joked that we were going to make this my bachelor party.
It wasn't really your bachelor party, but something was the next step in the process of you getting married was about to happen. So we were joking.
I think it was before I went to Nepal. Yes. So, introduced my mom to her parents, and then before she moved to the U.S. Yeah,
so we all went out to dinner, and then we went to karaoke. Am I
right? Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. That's so funny.
I
forgot that my mom was there.
at your bachelor party with literally your three best girlfriends and your mom. So funny.
That's very funny.
Okay, our next one, this actually, you know, I would love to hear a lot of, or, you know, any thoughts you have, really, but Akira Toriyama's new anime, Sandland, just released a new trailer, and it's going to be releasing on Disney Plus on March 20th. This is something I had no idea about.
Yeah, he had a couple of things in the work. There was this, and then there was another Dragon Ball show, and I'm guessing another video game. There's also the, rumblings of another live action now that all these other shows are attaining some level of success with live action. And yeah, I didn't know about this show until I had heard about the movie. And I didn't know he worked on it. I know that there was a film that came out that was pretty successful. I did not see it. I don't know if it actually was in the theaters in the US. I'm not aware of that. I'm guessing it was only in Japan. But as a result of its success, it got kind of greenlit for an anime, and the first seven episodes of the anime are going to be adapted from the film. So the first seven episodes are going to be from the film, and then it'll carry on in whatever original story there is left to tell after those seven episodes.
And the story sounds really cool. It's set in a post-apocalyptic world, ravaged by war. And essentially, what we are going to follow is a team of folks that are going to go find an enchanted, not an enchanted lake, but rather like a secret lake or like a long lost lake, because there is like a big corporation or a greedy leader that is hoarding all of the water supply.
It feels very like anime Mad Max, and like because there's a demon element to this, so I don't know. It's the more that I read about it, the more I'm like, this feels like Toriyama was like pretty inspired by Mad Max and wanted to make something of it.
And even the animation and the characters, like the characters do very much look of his inspiration at minimum. Our main character looks like a character from Dragon Ball Z in a really nice way. But what do you think about the animation style? It's kind of different.
It is kind of different. I'm not used to Toriyama exploring this like kind of CGI three more 3D looking approach. I'm sure he was really excited to explore that. We're seeing this a lot more and more, particularly recently, with oh gosh, what is the name of that anime that? Oh, a Blue-Eyed Samurai on Netflix.
Oh, God,
That
yeah.
has found, I mean, they're obviously studios are finding success using CGI more in anime, and yeah, I mean, it's obviously a deviation from what we're used to, right? But I think it looks fluid enough, and obviously, with it being Akira Toriyama's work, and just the massive amount of respect that our community has for his work and his character designs and, everything that he's ever done in his career, I think it'll still be pretty successful. The thing that I find the most intriguing about this announcement is that it's on Disney Plus, which, we've known for some time that Disney is looking to invest in anime, and they've experimented in a couple of different ways. One was with Star Wars and the anime series with Star Wars, and they've started to dabble in a couple of other different areas, mostly through Hulu though, at least in the US, but abroad it was Disney Plus. So I think from that perspective, it's not a huge deviation from what we've seen from Disney, but it is interesting that they went straight to Akira Toriyama to put a story together. And yeah, I'm interested. I'm certainly interested. I'll give it a watch. I don't know how long it's going to be. Did they announce the number of episodes that it's
I
is it
think
slated for 24? Oh, it's slated for
13
13.
episode
Okay, yeah.
anime, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean it one thing that I'll say for people who have not watched the trailer, first of all, go watch the trailer. It's pretty telling of like what I think we can expect from the world. But one thing that stands out to me is that it clearly looks like a very different story than, what we're used to from Toriyama. If all that you've ever seen of his is of his body of work is Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or GT or Super, this obviously is pretty different from that, and you can tell that I think right out the gate from the trailer. But as we said in last week's episode when we were talking about his life and his legacy, You know, he wanted to create other stories. He wanted to create comedies. He wanted to create subtle characters and like have fun with it. And it was as a result of the demand from the people that were so, you know, demanding of the action and guiding, you know, some of that of his creations towards that lens. He didn't have as much freedom as he did even in, for example, in Dragon Ball, to create those more kind of nuanced ensemble based, you know, slapstick or comedic moments that he was able to create in Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I given that, I'm excited to see what this is. And this was an attempt at being able to do that, and it got picked up. So it's deserving of a watch for sure.
Yeah. So you brought something here that is very, very interesting, and I would love to hear, you know, more from you about this.
Last
slice of news we have for the day.
There was a kind of hot off the press from earlier today. There was a report put out on a comic book review by a reporter named, and I'm just going to do my best here, Chike Nwanye, not sure how to pronounce her last name, and don't hold it against me. I made every attempt, but an interesting report came out today on Comic Book Review about the state of wages in the animation community. A report put out by the Japanese Animation Creators Association. It is JANICA for short, and really exposes, I think, a major issue in the way that contracts are structured in the animator and industry. And this is a topic that we've discussed before, just in terms of really how difficult it is to make it as an animator or as a voiceover artist in this industry, particularly in Japan. They make, you know, really low wages. I think in this report, there was some figure that said that some of these animators were making about $1.47 per drawing USD. Which is, as far as I'm concerned, criminal. Mm-hmm. It's really devastating to kind of hear that is the case. In fact, I think there was a stat that said that around 40% of the animators in the industry, or at least those that were surveyed from this report, claimed to be making less than 16K annually. And if they all live in Tokyo and in Japan, that's just like a super difficult wage, if not impossible wage, to live on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's really tough. Where I think this report touches on things that, you know, maybe people aren't so aware of and that we haven't talked about, you know, because as I said, we've talked about the low wage, what low wages that these animators are making, mm-hmm. is really around how difficult it is to get permanent jobs, and also kind of how uncomfortable it is to have conversations about full-time employment. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you, but I had this what is the right word for this? Like, not assumption, but what is the right word for this? Like, visceral? Not a perspective. No, like I imagined, I guess, sure. that many of the animators who work for these studios were just like shuffled in and out from project to project and acted in a full-time capacity. And they were just assigned and shelved onto particular projects. And when those projects were done, would be moved elsewhere. And this report kind of exposes a different reality, I think. So one of the things that it talked about was that, you know, 20% of employees or of the folks who were of these animators that were surveyed said they weren't offered an employee contract upon joining the industry and were only able to find subcontractor roles. Mm. And then kind of beyond that, that the animators who were hired under employee contracts rather than like subcontractor roles, a good chunk of them said that they didn't really have any other option. But of the subcontractors, the people who were not, which is obviously the majority, that's like 80% of the industry, nearly 10% or less than 10% said that they actually wanted that arrangement. And 20% of the 80% who are not full-time employees said they were only offered subcontracting roles. So I think basically the way I know that was like a lot of different stats and a lot of numbers there. And if you want to delve into this more, you can go to Comic Book Review right now and look up the anime report animator contract scandal. And it basically, in layman's terms, means that about half of the animators in the industry are actually freelance or self-employed, partially employed, and less than half, only like 40%, are permanent employees. And that is a ratio that I did not expect. It highlights that, especially for young animators who are trying to break it and make it in this industry, that they often will have to start part-time or as subcontractors. And what that means is, you know, a lack of guarantee of benefits through their employer, retirement, or any of the benefits that a full-time employee would potentially make. So I just thought that was really kind of surprising. Yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts with this?
I mean, again, yeah, you've just laid out like a lot of statistics and so forth. I think it's kind of triggering to me, you know, being someone who has in the past been, you know, brought into a role but never fully given a contract, job description necessarily, like those documentations that, you know, really give you. And if you're a young animator, this is very predatory behavior from these major studios. Like this is just, you know, when things are not fully fleshed out, fully laid out, everyone's on the same terms, like this is where people get taken advantage of. So it's actually makes me really sad because it was like, you know, I just really from the outside perspective and everything we hear really am anticipating the day where more of these gaps in what's right and fair for these animators and creators, where that gap becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and there's less instances, but rather just like a fully fledged detailed, fair work environment and wage. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this just kind of compounds, but a little bit more specifically on some of the issues, which, you know, from our end, it's nice to at least know the specifics of kind of what some of the holes are and what's happening. So, you know, from this end, it all feels very hush hush. And it's just like, ah, well, they're not paid enough. Not paid nearly enough, but it's like, oh no, there's actually like reasons why that's happening. And these are some of the reasons why that's happening. So those are my thoughts. I don't know. This stinks.
Yeah. And you know, one last detail that I'll highlight here that I think also contributes to that pay issue is, you know, animation studios are now trying to secure the rights to anime where historically, you know, I think a lot of the investors have typically paid for those. And so from a profit sharing perspective, the investors would get larger cuts. some of the profits stayed with them rather than kind of trickling down. What that means is that the studios don't actually often hold the copyrights to the series, which means, you know, because there's not that expectation of the thicker profit margins that are going to come once the anime is released and so forth, they can't forward spend to pay for salaries. So with the investors getting that money in the long run, unless those investors trickle that down and pay studios more for the product that they expect the studios to create, it's not going to happen. And I think a lot of these studios can't afford to pay for the license themselves. So they need an intermediary. They need these outside investors to come in and invest in a title and then invest in the license of a particular title. So only the giant studios are finally being able to afford things like that. And hopefully that will trickle down into the voice of artists, into the animators, into the directors, into the whole creative team, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
But until that happens more as a standard in the industry, this is going to continue to be a challenge. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, in terms of what people can do, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, support artists, man. That's really what it is. Support the animators. I'm sure, you know, follow them on Instagram, yeah. You know, buy manga, you know, try not to illegally watch anime as most you can for those who can afford it, right? These are the things that can help, and especially support studios that own the rights to shows. I wonder how there's an easy way to tell that. That's some homework for us. We should like try to figure that out. Like, I wonder, you know, which studios are able to afford that. And, you know, those are the ones that we want to support, especially, right? To give them the ability to continue to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and with that, that's been our news update. I'm Binge Monster.
And I'm a Green Queen.
Thanks, everyone.